Radio Prague News.
The Czech foreign minister says he will push for resolute EU action over the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Czech deputies have marked the centenary of the birth of Czechoslovakia with a special session. And German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Emmanuel Macron will visit Prague for the centenary celebrations. The Czech Republic will push for a resolute EU stance to Saudi Arabia over the murder of opposition journalist Jamal Khashoggi at the next meeting of European Union foreign ministers. Czech Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček told the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Czech Lower House on Friday. He said there should be a serious debate on an EU-wide ban on arms exports to Saudi Arabia, as well as other steps such as a ban on entry to the EU for some Saudi citizens and the freezing of their accounts. Minister Petříček and the head of the Foreign Affairs Committee, Lubomír Zaorálek, said the EU stance on the matter seemed ambiguous to them. The Saudi Arab Embassy in Prague told the CTK news agency it hopes that the Czech government and governments of other countries will not take what they call rash steps before an investigation into the case has been completed. In a debate devoted to the 100th anniversary of the birth of independent Czechoslovakia, deputies of the lower house of parliament stressed that the Czech Republic must remain true to the democratic values and ideals on which the First Republic was founded. A declaration approved by the lower house on the occasion says that humanism, freedom and democracy are the pillars of the modern-day Czech Republic and that they must be cherished, protected and developed. Honorary Topo 9 chair and former Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, who said he was the only deputy to remember the First Republic, noted that the country's first president, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, had often spoken on the importance of Europeanism, which he said was something Czechs tended to underestimate today. Social Democrat leader Jan Hamáček noted that on this important anniversary, Czechs should remember those who had laid down their lives for freedom and democracy in the past 100 years. German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Emmanuel Macron will visit Prague on Friday on the occasion of the centenary celebrations underway in the Czech Republic. Their talks with Prime Minister Andrej Babiš should cover bilateral ties and EU-related issues. French President Emmanuel Macron, who also held talks in Slovakia on Friday, is expected to bring up issues related to resolving the migrant crisis in Europe. He will also be meeting with President Miloš Zeman. Congratulatory messages on the occasion have also come from Britain's Queen Elizabeth, the American, German and Italian presidents, as well as many others. Valuable documents linked to the foundation of Czechoslovakia are said to go on display at the newly reconstructed National Museum in Prague. The original documents will be part of an exhibition commemorating the 100th anniversary of the birth of Czechoslovakia. They include the Munich Agreement, which granted Nazi Germany large parts of Czechoslovakia, inhabited mostly by ethnic Germans, and the Pittsburgh Agreement, a memorandum of understanding between the Czech and Slovak migrant communities to create an independent common state. The main National Museum building at the top end of Wenceslas Square will ceremonially reopen on Sunday after major renovations, with video mapping on the facade of the building. The museum will remain open to visitors free of charge until December 31st. And finally, a look at the weather forecast. Saturday should be overcast with rain around the country and day temperatures between 6 and 10 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's programs, Zdeněk Hřib from the Pirate Party has been elected Prague's new mayor. We speak to Charlotta Kotík, the great-granddaughter of the first Czechoslovak president Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk. And later we look at a series of objects that represent the history of Czechoslovak industry. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Prague Prague's new mayor will be the Pirate Party's Zdeněk Hřib. The announcement came on Friday at a press conference held by the three coalition partners that have agreed to lead the Czech capital for the next 4 years. Tom McEncrow has more.
Almost 3 weeks after the elections, the coalition talks deciding who will lead the Czech capital have been concluded. Aside from the Pirate Party, the independent movement Praha Sobě and the coalition made up of Topo 9, the Party of Mayors and Independents, and the Christian Democrats, known as Joint Forces for Prague, will be represented in the City Hall Council. The coalition will be led by the head of Prague's Pirate Party, Zdeněk Hřib. The 37-year-old has dedicated most of his professional life to the implementation of IT methods in the health sector. He has been a member of the Pirate Party since 2013 and became the leader of its Prague's candidate list ahead of the communal elections earlier this year. Political scientist Jiří Pehe shared his thoughts on the coalition.
Well, I think that the coalition that was formed in Prague can, above all, even on a symbolic level, bring a change, because Prague has not been managed very well in the last 4 years, and the parties that formed this new coalition have not been managing Prague in the past, with the exception of Topo 9, which is one of the small parts of this coalition. So I think that this is a gust of fresh wind, and hopefully this will move things forward in Prague.
One of the reasons behind the long negotiations was the condition the Pirates set out that the leader of the coalition parties would only be allowed to hold one elected function. Furthermore, the leader of Praha Sobě, Prague 7's charismatic mayor Jan Čižinský, also had ambitions to become the city council's top executive, appealing to the fact that he had received the highest number of preferential votes. In the end, however, both he and Jiří Pospíšil, the leader of Joint Forces for Prague, agreed to stay out of the council, although remaining as leaders of their respective groups within the city's assembly, giving them a lot of potential influence. Speaking to Radio Prague on Tuesday, Mr. Hřib shared his feelings about the agreement.
All of the parties have accepted the agreement, and I think I can say that the Pirates have been successful in this respect. We managed to secure those responsibilities within the council that we really wanted. That means IT, public administration, transparency, housing, science and more.
The soon-to-be mayor also shared his vision for the future of IT in the city's administration.
First, we are going to focus on ridding the city of its dependence on a limited amount of IT suppliers. This will lead to the lowering of expenses and greater effectivity. We also want to centralize data sharing within the magistrate and make it easier for people to sort out their paperwork online. Zdeněk Hřib, ending that report by Tom McEncrow. Now, this weekend's centenary celebrations in the Czech Republic will have particular resonance for Charlotta Kotík, given that her great-grandfather Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk founded Czechoslovakia and served for almost 2 decades as the country's first president. Ian Willoughby spoke to her at the Jihlava International Documentary Film Festival, where she is a special guest.
The feature film Talks with T.G. Masaryk, which is being shown here in Jihlava, shows the background to a series of books about Masaryk by Karel Čapek. And those books help to shape our image today of Masaryk. Do we know how much did Masaryk seek to cultivate a certain image?
I think the Masaryk was very open about things. And of course he was a politician. He was a politician and he never really denied that. I believe that President Masaryk was a PR, sort of hidden PR person. Okay, he seeked out journalists. He seeked out people who were able to present him in a certain way or his ideas in a certain way, which is completely natural. He wouldn't have achieved what he did without this ability to sort of formulate a little bit the image. I want to believe that he was honest about presenting what he really believed in.
Masaryk was known as the father of the nation. Is it true that he disliked being called the father of the nation?
Father of the nation is like, in Czech it would be otec. He did not particularly like this diminutive tati Czech. He was not a person for diminutives. He was like, I think he was an adventurer, okay? He was out there, he was traveling, he loved to travel, obviously. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done that so much. He traveled way before he really, I think, even formulated his vision of the political goals. So I think that this Tatíček was a little bit misleading, I know that at least in the family it was talked about that it was not necessarily what as he saw himself, but he also realized that it's like a potent tool in a way in a nation keeping things together, so obviously he didn't go against it in some kind of a, you know, offensive way or anything.
What kind of things were you told in your family growing up about your great-grandfather?
That he was a rather strict person, that he always demanded answers about political issues in the world and new books which came out. And my mother and my aunt, when they went to visit Tulane, they had to be sort of prepared that they are going to be dealt with as adults, that they are going to be able to answer questions which were discussed in the company of sort of grown-ups. So again, he was not Tatíček. He was a man who expected certain knowledge at any age of his companions.
You're speaking here in Jihlava at the Inspiration Forum. Why do you think it is that Masaryk today still remains this great icon and kind of ideal for so many Czechs, including young Czechs?
I hope that he still is sort of, carries these ideas, because I think now more than ever we need to sort of reevaluate and stress the importance of sort of moral bearing, moral compass, the truth, and distance oneself a little bit more from possessions, money, and all the materialism which unfortunately is destroying the world left and right.
Masaryk is known as a feminist. He obviously took his wife's name and incorporated it into his surname. Otherwise, in what ways practically was he a feminist, do you know?
I think that he was really involved in and considered absolutely important that women get a vote, you know. So it was really early 1920s that women voted, and the equality was basically stressed as something which is going to be part of the new republic. And so I think that's very important, that justice was to be the same for men and women. His acknowledgement of Charlotte, his wife, in his name, taking her name, was, I think, a symbol of him being very serious about cooperation within the family and within the nation of men, women, and husband and wife.
This weekend, many Czechs are celebrating the centenary of the foundation of Czechoslovakia. But there are some voices saying, what's to celebrate? Because the actual Masaryk's Czechoslovakia only lasted for 20 years. What do you say to that?
He himself always said that we needed at least 60 in order to establish something stable. And unfortunately, the world powers at the time, we know what's happening with the fascism. And he was too old, I think, to really be more proactive in shaping the fate of the Republic then. Yes, it lasted only 20 years, but maybe it really was sort of a shining star in Central Europe, and people remember it. Because I think what he declared, the sort of moral imperative, is something which applies to any time, and hopefully maybe we will return to it.
So you think it's worth celebrating the centenary for those 20 years at least?
Absolutely. I think one should always celebrate because it's a positive thing. So, we should be positive, especially in difficult times, because if we all are sad and pessimistic, then everything goes down the drain. So let's try to get up and just celebrate. But celebrate seriously. Bring out those ideals, try to restate them and live by them.
Charlotta Kotík, the great-granddaughter of Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, talking there to my colleague Ian Willoughby. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, to commemorate Czechoslovakia's famous industrial prowess, the National Technical Museum in Prague is currently holding an exhibition titled Made in Czechoslovakia, the industry that ruled the world. Tom McEncrow decided to take a closer look at the exhibition, asking director Hinek Stříteský to pick out a series of objects he believes represent the state's industrial achievements best.
Mohutný krásný stroj se řítí po trati. V jeho válcích pracuje síla 2600 koní. Samotná lokomotiva dosáhla rychlosti 145 km za hodinu. S vlakem, který je 600 tun těžký, ujede 120 km za hodinu. To je přínos Škodovky dopravní dvouletce.
When Czechoslovakia was proclaimed an independent state in 1918, it had the great fortune of inheriting around two-thirds of Austria-Hungary's industry. This catapulted the new republic into the top 10 world economies, whereas Austria struggled immediately after the war, with Vienna suffering a major outflow of its population. Her northern neighbour was blessed both by a strong industrial base and a generation of businessmen to use it. Czechoslovakia's industrial importance would be intertwined with the state's fate throughout its history, sometimes for the better, sometimes for worse. Hitler and later Stalin were both aware of the country's resources, making sure it served Germany and the Soviet Union well. Yet apart from guns, coal and uranium, Czechoslovakia also produced advanced machines and technologically sophisticated items such as television sets developed by leading scientists. To celebrate this great industrial heritage, the National Technical Museum, located near Prague's Letná Park, has launched an exhibition called Made in Czechoslovakia, the industry that ruled the world. Its exhibits have been specifically selected to map out the country's industrial history. The director of the building's Electrotechnical and Media Museum, Hinek Stříteský, explained what is on offer.
This exhibition depicts the development of Czechoslovak industry from 1918 to 1992. And visitors can look forward to products of engineering, textile industry, transport vehicles, or, for example, domestic products.
To give us an appetizer for the exhibition, Mr. Stříteský picked out seven objects which he believes are symbolic of Czechoslovakia's industrial past. First in line was an example of high-tech electronics.
Here we can see experimental black and white television set from 1939 by Jaroslav Šafránek. Jaroslav Šafránek was the first to experiment with television broadcast as early as the 1930s. Experiments with television broadcast were undertaken in Germany, in UK, USA, Soviet Union and in Czechoslovakia. An experimental, fully electronic television set has been preserved until today. Unfortunately, Jaroslav Šafránek's experiments were terminated at the beginning of the Second World War. If it had not been for the fact, Czechoslovakia may have been one of the first countries in the world to have television broadcast.
The German occupation did not kill off the Czechoslovak television industry completely, however. As Mr. Stříteský points out with the next item, again a television, Czech scientists would build upon German research during the war, and this would result in an important step in European television production in the late 1940s.
This television system is a piece equipment unique around the world, which documents the construction prowess of Czechoslovak engineers of the 1940s. And the equipment is highly likely to have been the very first to use the 625 line system in Europe.
And why is the 625 line system important?
Because this system is used until today.
Apart from the early breakthroughs in electronics, the young state was also famous for another component of its industry, armaments. Those interested in war machines are likely to spend time inspecting the museum's early tankette, as well as a variety of fighter planes. Mr. Stříteský, however, eagerly shows me a much smaller weapon, a machine gun known as the ZB-26, first developed by the Brno-based armaments company Zbrojovka. It served as the core design upon which the Allied Bren was developed.
Here we can see world-famous machine gun ZB, which was also granted a British license, Bren. And Bren means designed in Brno and produced in Enfield in Britain. And this machine, Bren, was used during the Second World War, and it was one of the most common guns in this war. The production program of Zbrojovka Brno was very wide. It expanded to include passenger cars. In the mid-1930s, Zbrojovka commenced a production of writing machines Remington Zeta, and 5 years later introduced their own research, the result of which was the famous Konsul, produced in the late 1950s in the amount of 40,000 pieces a year. In the mid-1940s, the company was also made responsible for the development of a piece of universal electric kitchen equipment, food processor.
Another thick thread that runs throughout Czechoslovakia's industrial history was the manufacture of transport vehicles. Apart from the world-famous automobile industry, this included locomotives, trams and aircraft. Mr. Stříteský provides another influential example.
And here we can see a motorcycle Java 250 type 353 from 1950s and 1960s. And motorcycles belonged among Czech most successful export products. In the late 1950s and early 1960s, these were mainly the so-called national class motorcycles, nicknamed Rocky or Kevačka. And at the time, the extremely good parameters of the motorcycles ensured their popularity even on more demanding markets.
So even in the West, for example?
Yes.
While not everyone had a chance to own a Java 250 during its glory days, another type of vehicle, famous for its design, has quite likely transported nearly every large city dweller in the country. Mr. Stříteský explains.
It's quite common to see the tram T3 in Prague streets, but we can also come across this type in many cities in the world. And visitors can see the model of this tram carriage also in our exhibition. This tram represents a product upon which Czechoslovakia's reputation of the largest manufacturer of tram carriages in the world was built. What is also remarkable is the shape of the body with fiberglass nose, a masterpiece created by František Kardous. And today the interior is highly praised also for aesthetically and ergonomically exceptional fiberglass seats.
Tady zase šlo o výrobek našeho ústavu pro výzkum motorových vozidel, sportovní kupé GT. Prospekt o něm říká, že se uvažuje o výrobě menší série.
Yet as the weekly Czechoslovak film newsreels continued to focus on the positives, not all was rosy for Czechoslovak industry during the 20th century. Roughly around the time that the first T3s were being exported to other socialist countries, a real decline in Czechoslovakia's industrial competitiveness became increasingly noticeable.
Production of certain products was hindered, if not totally prevented, by lack of components available only in the West. The lack of material and technology became increasingly apparent in most sectors. Researchers, construction engineers, technologists or industrial designers try to maintain a reasonable standard of new products intended for the domestic market. In case of products intended for foreign markets, it was only their courage and invention that helped them overcome the material and technological barriers.
Historian Peter Zeman has studied the Communist State Security's Economic Counterintelligence Section, which was tasked with protecting the country's industry from external as well as internal espionage. He says that in order to prevent suspected saboteurs, accomplished scientists and engineers were often removed from important positions.
Lidé, kteří chtěli něco změnit, tak se většinou podíleli nějakým způsobem na Pražském jaru.
People who wanted to try and change things were often removed from leading positions in industrial enterprises because they were marked out as rightist elements, unreliable, or even as individuals directly hostile to the state. The whole economic system in the 1970s and 1980s was centered around keeping to the plan, no matter whether it was successful or not. No one wanted to stand out. This undermined any sort of activity and the development of the Czechoslovak economy in the 1970s and particularly in the 1980s reflected this fact.
The Economic Counterintelligence Section's documents also reveal the impact this lack of initiative had both on production and quality.
Vím, že jsem narazil na situaci, kdy prověřovali nějaké výpadky.
During my research, I ran into a case where a fridge producer called Kalex from Zlaté Moravce in southern Slovakia, whose percentage of defective products was 28%, in other words, nearly a third of its products. We also have to realize that the socialist customer had much lower expectations regarding quality than his Western counterpart. Yet still, they were getting complaints for nearly 30% of their products. This would have driven any normal business bust.
Samozřejmě pro každý normálně existující podnik likvidační a musel by zkrachovat.
Czechoslovakia, as a unified state, never got the chance to recover from the hit its industry received through the rigid communist administration system. It disappeared less than 4 years after the revolution. Nevertheless, there were already attempts immediately after to come up with products that would restore the reputation of the phrase made in Czechoslovakia. And Mr. Striteski believes one of the exhibits personifies them.
And now we come to the final exhibit, which I think is particularly of note. It's motorcycle Java Athena from 1991. Since the second half of the 60s, the technological standards of Czechoslovak motorcycle production were in gradual decline. Nevertheless, Czechoslovakia continued to belong among the greatest producers of motorcycles in the world. The social changes after 1989 brought hope of a change for better. Java attempted a joint project, Athena, created in collaboration with designer Václav Král. However, the study of a new motorcycle ended with only prototype on display here.
The National Technical Museum's exhibition, Made in Czechoslovakia, the industry that ruled the world, will be open to visitors until September 2019.
Tom McEncrow with that report. And there will be hundreds of events taking place across the country to mark the occasion of the 100th anniversary of Czechoslovakia. And you can follow them on Radio Prague's online news service and on our Facebook page. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Vaňková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.